Today's reading is from Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello everyone, and welcome to our St. Nick's online service today. It's good to be able to gather, even though we're gathering together virtually. And it's good that we can come into the presence of God together. Just got one item of family church news before we move on to the sermon. And that's about, there is one more opportunity for us to gather and pray together on Zoom this month. And that will be the 2020 prayer on the 20th of August. So if you'd like to join in with that, then please do contact the church office for the details. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you are with us, each one of us, wherever we are as we watch this. Thank you that you are faithful. Thank you that your love never fails. And Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word today. And you will teach us the things you want to teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Our sermon series over the summer is called Keeping Company with Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at different prayers which Jesus prayed. How did Jesus pray? And what did it look like when he was spending time with his Father, speaking and listening to him? As we look at these prayers, then my prayer is that we don't simply learn with our heads, this is the way that Jesus prayed, but that we do keep company with Jesus on this journey, learning how to pray like him and moving deeper in our own prayer lives. Today, we're looking at Jesus praying in thanksgiving. It's actually a very short prayer, just a couple of verses. Maybe you can look in your Bibles if you've got one there with you. It's going to be in Matthew chapter 11. And we're going to focus specifically on verses 25 to 26. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, this was for your good pleasure. As we think about this prayer and what we can learn from it, let's consider a few questions. When did Jesus pray? Why did Jesus pray? And what about us? When I first looked at these verses, it seemed fairly short and straightforward, and I was wondering how we were going to have a whole sermon on this. But as we dig into these questions, we find that there is a lot to learn. The first question is, when is Jesus thankful? It's fascinating to look at the context of this prayer, and the situation that Jesus is in certainly doesn't seem to be one which would lead to breaking out in a prayer of thanksgiving. At the beginning of chapter 11 of Matthew, John the Baptist's disciples approach Jesus and ask him, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? At this time, John is locked up in prison because he confronted the political leader, Herod, about his adultery with his brother's wife. John had been a prophetic and fearless voice, preparing the way for the coming Messiah. But this coming of the Messiah is not happening in the way that he thought it would happen, and he's beginning to question. John was Jesus's cousin. John was the one who baptized him and pointed people towards him as the long-awaited Messiah. And now, even he was questioning him. Maybe he's feeling that Jesus doesn't look enough like a Messiah, that he isn't well-known enough or powerful enough, that he isn't challenging the political powers enough, like John himself has done. John is calling for repentance and an end to sin, and Jesus is hanging out with the very sinners that John was talking about. Jesus was doing exactly what he was called to do, but John, his close friend, is questioning him. Jesus reassured John that he was the Messiah and encouraged him to keep on trusting. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. Next, in chapter 11, Jesus addresses the people in the villages around him in Galilee. These are the villages where Jesus had been living and doing most of his ministry. People had been healed. The blind could see. A paralyzed man could walk. Most of Jesus' disciples came from these villages. Jesus fed the 5,000 there. He taught in the synagogue and used Capernaum as his base for his ministry. These were Jesus' friends and neighbours who saw him in the streets, in the market, and they'd seen him do amazing things. And how did they respond to his ministry and the good news of the kingdom which he was sharing with them? It seemed that many of them treated him with indifference and dismissed him as irrelevant to their lives. They're not blatantly evil, but stubbornly persist in going their own way and following their own vision of God's kingdom. Jesus even tells them that if the people in Sodom, which was the archetypal image of evil in the Old Testament, had seen what these people had seen through Jesus' ministry, they would have responded to God. Tom Wright suggests that these people in the villages have a vision of the kingdom which involves violence to overthrow the Romans. They don't want to embrace this humble, self-sacrificial vision of the kingdom which Jesus is demonstrating. With John's doubts and misunderstanding and the villagers' rejection and hard-heartedness, this does not seem to be a situation which would lead Jesus to burst out in praise and thanksgiving to the Father. But that is what he does. This isn't the only time in the Gospels when we see Jesus giving thanks in really difficult situations. On one occasion, Jesus was preaching out in the countryside and surrounded by thousands of hungry people, with only one boy who'd had the foresight to bring a packed lunch. John tells us that Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks. Jesus gave thanks for the small amount which God had provided before the miracle which saw everyone fed. On another occasion, one of Jesus' good friends had died, and Jesus went to see the man's grieving sisters, who couldn't understand why Jesus had not intervened. In the midst of death and disappointment and confusion and sorrow, Jesus thanks God. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. In spite of the difficulty of the situation, and before the miracle happens, which sees Lazarus raised to life again, Jesus turns to the Father to give thanks. So, that's a bit about when Jesus gave thanks. Let's return to our passage and look at why Jesus gave thanks. In this context, where the person who understood Jesus best misunderstood him, and the people who knew him best in their daily lives didn't know him or embrace his presence amongst them as Saviour and Healer. What led Jesus to spontaneous thanksgiving? There was more and more opposition building, and strangely, this gave Jesus a fresh insight into the unexpected way that his Father was working. Jesus looks beyond and deeper than the surface situation. He knows that in spite of the way the situation appears, God is at work, and the kingdom of God is drawing near in God's way, which is very different from what people are expecting. Jesus is thankful that though God's ways are hidden from the wise and learned, they've been revealed to little children, the simple, ordinary folk. For thousands of years, Jewish writings had spoken about the wisdom of the wise. For Jewish leaders, gaining wisdom through studying the Torah, learning the law, discussing the complicated details of it, that's what would lead to knowledge of God. For the average Jew in Jesus' day, that meant wisdom was totally out of reach. You needed to be a scholar with lots of training and time to discuss complicated matters. In his prayer of thanksgiving, an insight into the kingdom of God, Jesus cut through all of that. You just needed to be a little child. Tom Wright points out that Jesus has come to know the Father the way a son does, not by studying books about him, but by living in his presence, listening for his voice, and learning from him as an apprentice does from a master, by watching and imitating. As Jesus looked around him, he could see that the ordinary people, the poor, the tax collectors, the sinners, were learning more about God by following Jesus than the learned Pharisees and religious leaders who could not make Jesus fit in with all their complicated theories. Through Jesus' presence and the things he said, people were coming to see who the Father really is. Jesus' thanksgiving is filled with faith. It's not just a response to the visible situation around him, but it's based on his deep personal knowledge of the Father and who the Father is. In spite of how the situation appears, Jesus knows that the Father is good and kind and powerful, and that he is working his purposes out in ways which are sometimes beyond what we can directly see or understand. And so, what about us? Are we thankful people? When are we thankful, and why are we thankful? Jesus was in a situation which could have led to despair or to feel like God's plan was failing. All of us face difficult situations sometimes. These can make us ask, have we heard God wrong? Has God got it wrong? Has God forgotten us? Maybe the people we've been sharing the gospel with for years still aren't responding. Maybe they are rejecting us. Maybe they just think we're plain weird for believing. Maybe we're struggling in our marriages, with our relationships with our children. Maybe we've lost our job and can't see a way forward. Maybe we're struggling with ill health. Do we despair? Or do we, like Jesus, press deeper in prayer? Do we remember who God is and what he is like? Do we see beneath the surface God's kingdom at work in small ways, like yeast in a batch of bread, or like a tiny mustard seed which can grow and blossom? Do we give thanks for these signs of the kingdom among us? This is not a fake kind of thankfulness which says, oh yes, everything is fine, even when everything is not fine and we're going through really difficult times. It is a thankfulness that acknowledges the difficulty of the situation, fixes our eyes on Jesus, and recognizes who God is in the midst of it. You see this often in the Psalms, where the psalmist begins by crying out to God about the difficulty of a situation, but ends up in praise and worship as he fixes his eyes on God and reminds himself of God's goodness and faithfulness. How easy it is for us not to be a thankful people, but a grumbling and complaining people. I was thinking about the Exodus and the Israelites leaving Egypt. How quickly they forgot to be thankful for the freedom that God had given them in miraculously rescuing them from their slavery in Egypt. When the going got tough, they started to grumble and complain, and even look back at their time in slavery through rose-coloured spectacles. Through Jesus and his amazing love for us, God has freed us from slavery to sin and to death. Let us be a thankful people, no matter what the circumstances we find ourselves in.